1 Corinthians chapter 12. One body, many parts. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with the gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Amen. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. I've got... there's a desperate part of me that wants to stand about there in the middle, rather than up here. Because, if the gadgetry works. Really, because we're all part of one body, and stood up there all by myself, I don't feel part of the body. Whereas here, hopefully, we feel a bit more together. I've got some notes here, and I hope they're of benefit to you. That's my prayer. They're slightly random. But as I read this passage, and as I've been thinking over the last few weeks and months, it seems to me that if we're going to be effective, we're going to be the body that Christ wants us to be, we've probably got to change a bit. And there are some things that might have to change in the way we do church. But actually, a lot of it is about the change of how we relate to one another. How we are church. Not just on a Sunday when we're in this building, a nice neutral space. But when we're out there in the world, or when we meet up for coffee during the week, if we do that. Or maybe it's fruit tea for you, I don't know. Yeah. Do we intentionally do that? Do we go looking for those who might be described, but don't tell them this? What's it say? The parts we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. Can you think of a part of Penrault that might be thought of as less honorable? Someone who, when they walk in, everybody doesn't turn around and say hi. You know, the people who maybe we normally miss. Now, I think generally speaking, Penrith is quite good. On a Sunday morning, if someone walks in, very rarely, if ever, will someone actually be able to leave the service without having someone at least make eye contact and say hello. But actually, that's only step one, isn't it? We want to be going further than that. I was looking around, and okay, I've been here donkey's years, and actually, I think I know more than half of the people here in terms of knowing their names. And that for me, I'm happy at that, because I'm rubbish with names. But still, there are a few people here, and I could do something about that after the service. What does it mean to be one body? I want you to think, do you feel like the little toe sometimes? You know, no one really notices you. Or do you feel like, forgive me if this is embarrassing, the armpit? Yeah? Or do you feel like you're, maybe part of the head, responsible for looking out or listening to God? How do we connect? How do we fulfill those bits, those functions that God has given us? The context of this passage just before is all about spiritual gifts. And the reason, well, the usual thing when you read the Bible, if it says something about spiritual gifts, you think, well, okay, the Corinthian church probably had a problem with them. Yeah? Otherwise, if you were writing a letter, why would you mention them? You know, if it's going fine, you know, if it's not broken, don't fix it. So the Corinthians were having a real issue about spiritual gifts. And you can sort of read between the lines when he's saying, is everyone an eye? You know, everybody's trying to be really important, maybe, in the Corinthian church. Or if they were thinking of themselves as an important part of the body, they maybe weren't then turning it round and saying, well, okay, that's because God has given me that role. It's nothing to do with me. I'm just the same as everybody else. And so I then need to be serving others. Or maybe they've got the wrong idea about the input being one of the outwardly important bits. That maybe that makes them better than other people. So I think when Paul was writing this about, you know, the body, he was using it quite specifically because he saw, what's the name of the snowman in Frozen? Sorry? Olaf, yeah. He's great, isn't he? But, right, Frozen, Disney. I shan't tell you the story, but there is a comical figure as part of it. He's really the good guy, because he actually saves the day on several occasions. And for a snowman who wants to know what summer is like, he's obviously got something not quite right up there. But through the animation, quite often, his body ends up in all sorts of places. And so I was thinking of it as a way of thinking about us. You know, when we come together, do we sometimes, like Olav, stack up differently? So the head's at the bottom and the feet are sticking out in odd places. Yeah. The other thought I had was a Picasso painting. You know, Picasso, when he does his faces, and it's all in the wrong place. How much of that describes us? You know, We've got the bits, but they're not always connected in quite the right place. And how can we go about trying to make those connections? Can we self-organise, i.e. realise that something's wrong and do something about it ourselves? Or do we go, it's wrong, and then go off and have a huff? Or do we talk to our deacon or Peter and turn it into a complaint? Something that the organisation has got to sort out. I think the thing about Olav is he self-organises. Eventually his bits get back in the right place, don't they? And I'd like to think that we as a church can do that too. That you don't need my permission as a deacon to sort out a problem you can see. You might need to tell me you think it's a problem so that we can pray together or pray about it, and then you might be the person who's the right person to go and sort it. If you see a mission opportunity or something good that it would be to do, sorry, the word order there was wrong, something good to do, do you feel you have to wait for permission to do it? Yes? No? Yeah? Is it okay for our home group to go and do that? Sometimes we think, yes, we have to check. And it's usually good to check. Though Barry and Kate running a children's service up in the Llandonna Church was not something the leadership of Penrhout knew about or said was okay. But as soon as we heard about it, we were overjoyed. Yeah? If God gives you an opportunity, if you're worried about it in terms of there might be politics with a small p because of another church or something, then by all means talk to us. But other than that, you are the body of Christ. In your community. Do it. Yeah? It's always good, if you're doing something like that, to get prayer support. So to tell someone else you're doing it. And that might be through a home group. It might be through telling a deacon. So that there's someone praying. But if you're intentionally doing something that you know is the right thing to do, and it doesn't have to be outwardly spiritual. I'm not talking just about, you know, handing out tracts in your local area. I'm thinking equally of if you know that there's some neighbours who need visiting, then you do it, don't you? You don't ask the church's permission. But that's mission. Getting to know your community, your neighbours, that's mission. You don't need our permission, just go and do it. I think, yeah, there's a story, just briefly. I went last, not yesterday, but the Saturday before, to the North Wales English Baptist Union spring event. Now, does that sound exciting? I was there from Penrhout and Elaine Green were there. And apart from a toddler, who I think was there with his grandparents, I lowered the average age, which is beginning to be strange for me. Yeah, I'm getting to that age where I'm sort of now when I add to a group I'm more likely to make the average age go up. But I ended up, it was in Llandudno and West Parade, I ended up with the wife of the minister from Holyhead taking a basket of fruit with labels on, which had the fruit of the Spirit on them. Corny or what? Walking along West Parade, offering it as a free gift to people who were sat there enjoying the sun. And using it as an opportunity to get into conversation. I didn't know I was going to be doing that when I got there. And when I got there, and we were presented with this as the practical work that might be, because we had someone who talking about street evangelism. Okay, so he did the, I'm not going to tell you about it, we're going to do it. And I was scared, because I hadn't done anything like that for years. But we went out there, and there are several things I learnt or relearnt. One is that if you've got something free to give to someone, you surprise them. They want to pay for it. We had a parent, a new kid came to Jam on Friday night, and the parent came up to Jammy Panad, where we give a sort of a quiet space for parents to just chinwag a bit. And the parent was really, it asked three or four times, "You sure you don't want me to give you anything for my child coming to Jam?" Just couldn't understand it. No, it's fine. We don't need a donation, don't need anything. Church is doing it, it's fine, it's cool. Well, okay. So the first thing, people actually are surprised. Secondly, if you said to someone, choose one of the fruit of the Spirit, the one that you think is going to do you the most good now, what would you choose? And so you're offering them love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Have I got them all? I think that's all. One, these are good things. And actually people are not used to thinking about good things. Secondly, we ran out of peace first. So we were having to say, sorry, we've not got any peace. You can have some love or some patience. But anyway, we got into, in the space of a quarter of an hour, five conversations, three people who had been bereaved within the last 3 months, someone waiting for a serious aneurysm operation. And people were just telling us. I wasn't. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, could we do this on Bangor High Street? Well, it's a bit different from West Parade because they're holiday makers and they're sort of... And also, I might meet someone I know on Bangor High Street. And that would be harder, wouldn't it? But that's an illustration, I think. I went to that meeting not sure what we were going to do. And then there was a circumstance presented itself. Was it going to do it or not? And I'm a mug. I'm up for most things. I take it quite literally when it says, be a fool for Christ. So I did it. I didn't feel very confident. I don't think I've got a gift for street evangelism. But we can do it. We can have that's just those conversations that might share Jesus. We were able to offer to pray for some people. They didn't particularly want us to pray. We told them we'd pray anyway whilst we were walking along. Yeah. That being, you know, I felt then, okay, for that afternoon, I was the hand, you know, reaching out. But I'm not the hand reaching out all the time. Sometimes, you know, I'm the foot that the church stands on, because that's where I think deacons are. You know, we're the feet. We're the things that make sure things happen. The foundation. and a lot of that time. So, it, but do you get what I'm trying to say? That we're not always the same member. Change the circumstance. You might have a gift that you don't normally use comes into the fore. You can use it. Be open to what God is saying for here and now. Yeah? One of the other things is, if you feel God's given you a gift, and we've had some issues and some times in Penrith where this has happened, where someone is so convinced that they've got a God-given gift, and they are telling us what that gift is and how it should be used and what we need to do to fit in with their plan. That's another area where, okay, that's maybe a bit Picasso-like. We don't get everything right as the leadership of Penrith, but I hope that we can pray together and seek together if there are gifts that you feel you want to see exercised in Penrith. Then let's pray about it and wait for the body to see it as the way forward. And then there's the last bit of that verse where Paul, of the chapter, where Paul says, "And now I will show you the most excellent way," which is a wonderful run-in to 1 Corinthians 13, all about love. And something about that, and about being part of the body, I thought I'd read you a story. And this one is called "You Are Special" by Max Lucado. I don't have to explain that, do I? No. You're special because God made you. We're part of the body because God has put us together. Let's pray and act to make that more, that body stronger. For the eyes and the ears, the feet, the little toes, the little fingers, to be in the right place. And we're not going to get it right all the time. But as I was saying to someone this morning, it's not about getting it right all the time. It's what happens when it goes wrong and we pick ourselves up and we start again and try again.